To come back to one theme that I discussed in the context of Arzei HaLevanon, specifically as we were talking about Klotz Dinori, the idea that people had choices to make. Again, very often we think about the Shoah, you know, the massive forces and the trains and the death camps and the Final Solution, and, millions and millions and millions of members of the Red Army and the Wehrmacht, and it's hard to certainly wrap our heads around the scale of what was going on in Europe and the scale of 6 million. And so I think it's very important to think about individuals and to think about choices that people made. So I wanted to share with you a story from my grandfather, Zatzal, and his experience in the war that, again, I think about in the context of Klotz Dinori, but in the opposite direction, just one individual act of cruelty. It's one story out of 6 million stories, but I think it reminds us that there were individual choices to be made and choices that made a difference between life and death, and not only for the individuals who were involved, but l'dore doros, how it would impact humanity and the world going forward. So the context was the spring of 1945, early April 1945. It had been an extremely harsh winter, and in Europe, my grandfather would always remind me, snows are still melting in early April. Okay, snows are still melting in early April. They were on a death march outside of Dachau, my grandfather and his brother, his younger brother. And the way that this worked was you were lined up, let's say it was like six abreast in the road. And the column stretched for miles. You had tens of thousands of people on these death marches. And part of what made it a death march was that there was like no food and no water. That was part of what made it a death march. So, every now and again, somebody just falls down. And, falling down meant that you died because, you weren't going to be able to get back up. You didn't fall down because you tripped over a rock. You fell down from exhaustion. That was it. So it was obviously a very harrowing kind of a thing. They knew, of course, that the reason they were being shuttled around is they could hear the artillery, they could hear the bombing, they knew the Americans were very, very close. Of course, they had no sense of the actual timing, right? They weren't being given updates by the SS that, we think the Americans are going to be here soon. So what happened was the following. This guy at the end, my grandfather didn't know him personally because it just had been lined up, there were tens of thousands of people. So my grandfather and his brother are sort of in the middle of this row, and let's say where that railing is, so is the person at the far edge of the road. The reason I mentioned that it's April, my grandfather would eventually be liberated April 23rd, 1945. So he's the guy on the end of the row, and the SS are, every few rows. And the snow is melting. And this person feels like he's dying of thirst. He's got to have a drink of water. So he's got a decision to make now. So he could either try to keep on marching and at some point collapse of exhaustion and that's it, or he could make like a quick run for it and go over to this sort of gully by the side of the road where the snow is melting into, so there's dirty, muddy water piling up, right? So what he decides to do is, my grandfather sees out of the corner of his eye, this guy on the far right, because he's on the extreme, so he takes a few steps over, and he bends down, it's all happening in seconds, to take a sip of water to give himself a little bit of strength that he should be able to continue on. A parenthetical remark, at this point my grandfather was no longer really walking on his own. He told me that this week he would have died, but his brother, he was lucky to have a brother, his brother was really holding him up during the death march, right? He was actually holding him underneath his elbows because he didn't have any strength left to actually walk. So the guy is now bent down. Remember that image from Sefer Shoftim and Gidon when they're actually bending down for the water? So this guy is now on his knees and his head is coming down to the water. From three rows back, one of the SS guards who knew the war was over. It was over. The Americans were going to be there in a matter of moments. These people were cowards. My grandfather said, not a few days later when the Americans came, they all ran and they changed into civilian clothing. They at gunpoint, they took clothes from German civilians, from the farmers in the surrounding areas, and they dressed themselves. And the Americans found that anyway, because as you know, the SS members had tattoos. So the Americans figured out who was who anyway. But these people were cowards. So this butcher, from three rows back, so he comes running up, takes out his sidearm, puts it to the man's skull and literally blows off half of his head. And my grandfather told me that that was, and by this point in the war, he had been in the camps for, the war started for him basically July 1st, 1941, when the Germans double-crossed the Russians and invaded Latvia. So at that point, he was not new to the war, okay? So I don't know how many people he saw die, but it was not a small number. But he considered that to be the greatest act of achzarius that he ever witnessed, because there was no reason for it whatsoever. This person could have survived the war. And not just he could have survived the war, but like the Mishnah says, Kol HaKayim Nefesh Achas Kivu Kiyim Olam Mala. His grandson might be here telling the story. And for no reason at all, it wasn't going to advance the war effort in any sense. This man, this butcher, comes up, somebody's, you know, very, very, very thirsty. He's not being given water. He's drinking basically mud with a little bit of water, and he goes and blows his head off. Okay? And that person, obviously, it does not survive the war, even though he'd survived so much. And we have to remember that that's just a story, and it's really a fraction of a story, of 6 million stories. But it's not just some big machine that existed. There were individuals, and they made choices. Chotz Dinori made a choice in the story of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon. And whoever this butcher was, you know, and hopefully God avenged himself on, you know, on this person, whatever happened to this man from the SS, if you could call him a human, you know, he made his choices. And the choices had ramifications for generations. Do you remember the Shoah? Remember the tragedy of the Shoah? We should never strip agency from the people that were involved. I'm not saying choices were easy to make, but there's no reason the person from the SS had to do that in support of the German war effort. And this afternoon we'll talk about Sugihara and the choices that he made and what differences, you know, a single person could make. So it's a very large historical event, but within these very large historical events with forces all around, people make choices that have consequences for not just the individuals that they deal with, but really for what happens in future generations. So again, now we'll recite the kina in two different kinas, frankly, two different texts. The kina of Tzoshi Ashoa, Art School 384, Rosenfeld 173, before we conclude with Elitio. Thank you.